This is part one of the fun generators chapter. Okay, so fun generators combine the data mechanics along with mechanics in other design dimensions, like social and feedback mechanic spaces, into systems that help to generate fun within the game. This is similar to electricity generators within the electricity age. Just like in that age, you would, you know, be able to get electricity on demand. With fun generators, the ideal design is something where you can literally flip on, you know, whatever the game utility is, and then it delivers fun, or it delivers a fun way to have that utilitarian experience. So that's the metaphor that I consider. And so, for example, a positive fun generator may involve data along with social and game mechanics in a form of like multiplayer interactions where players interact with the data in an interesting and compelling way. So here are a list of some fun generators that could be put into a game utility to help amplify the fun for players in the game. The generator list is not complete, and more types of fun generators will be created. It's important to note that an effective game utility designer would design generators that aggregate, filter, and display intersections of data in a way that make it fun for players. An example of this could be like the news feed on Facebook. It's a system that's not only useful, but fun for people that are involved. Without the feed, Facebook would not be as fun or relevant to many people. In the same way, fun generators should offer the same opportunity in different contexts. And still, the newsfeed is more of a breed of social software, and effective fun generators don't necessarily just create more consumptive or passive engagement. They would create a more participatory and playful interactions with others inside and outside the system. Effective fun generators could enhance interactions or make those kind of useful interactions more fun. The best fun generators tap into psychological systems, mechanics intrinsic within human beings. The feedback and fun is in the realm of psychology. Another important thing to think about with fun generators is that the good fun generators put players in roles with data and help to orchestrate roles and situations so that players feel compelling and unique emotions. That orchestration can be with data, or it can be with other players or other interact feedback or whatever other design dimension. When looking at innovative fun generators, it's important to look into emotional, informational, and experiences that are novel, unique, and interesting, that could be made accessible and available by the specific fun generator, because without this fun generator, it would be very difficult, and the friction to provide the experience would outweigh the gains. So the fun generators really need to accelerate fun for useful things. And so here are some specific fun generator systems. There's the draw something system, and that's where players cooperate to express themselves and take turns to earn more coins together as they generate more content. It's based on that famous game back in the day, draw something. And then there's a reciprocity system, which is, you know, similar to the draw something. In fact, it was a core component of how draw something the draw something game worked. This is where players work with exchanges to help push others to progress in the game. So basically, one person might do one thing and then kind of kick that data back, or kick the next interactive part to the next person, who may kick it back. And so it's a reciprocal system where people feel obligated to participate and add to the maybe data or content or whatever else. So an example would be draw something, or some of these board games where one person makes, you know, one move and then it's the next person's move, stuff like that. There's the tracing data system, and this is where players are given information or data and have to copy it or make their own version of it. And this could be in the form of tracing drawings. Like, so if one person actually made the drawing, all that data would be saved, and then another person could trace it. Another option would be where one person makes a photo of a certain pose, and then another person would need to emulate that pose in their photo. So, and this system may have a time element to it to see how fast you could trace something, or it could have a rating mechanic so that other players could judge how well your photo pose was compared to the original photo pose made by another player, or something else like that. There's the trading data exchange systems, and this could be used to build collaborative gameplay where people could trade data with each other so that they both come out ahead in the game. This could be a photo or some other opinion that works. So I guess trading in these data-generated games is covered in other parts of the book under the terms such as social exchanges and or data exchanges. But we've added a specific section here to help address the important mechanic that has helped to drive fun in traditional games. And trading in the case of these data-generated games revolves really around data exchanges, social exchanges, and experience exchanges. In fact, it might even be where both are, you know, both players or other, you know, set of players are trading time within a quest to have an enhanced experience that was not possible without commitment from both people. So trading can also be in the form of multiplayer quests and orchestrations where different phases of the quest involve different trades or exchanges among the players. And I guess implicit in all this is the concept of really players in these multiplayer data systems playing specific roles that are complementary and additive, but also not necessarily symmetric. They're asymmetric. And so it's not just a friend relationship or, you know, it's more of an asymmetric relationship based on the fantasy relationship or the role relationship native to that game utility. So basically, to summarize these trading data exchange systems, it would be a system that is able to orchestrate the interactions and the data exchanges and the time exchanges between players to facilitate the goal of the game utility. Then there's another fun generator, which would be predictive systems, and these would be gameplay suggestions and challenges that are changed based on the choices of the player. So this is where, you know, stuff like pre-computation relevant to the game utility topic would be done so that these recommendation system or these recommendations could be used as part of the game utility interaction sequence. There's also the augmented data systems, and these would be systems that take in data and allow the player to add more value or augment them via the game. The game makes it fun to augment the data. And so this would be like taking a photo and allowing players to add another photo to it. And so it's like you're building a scrapbook together. So these augmented data systems could literally be these data structures, data interaction structures, where multiple players in different roles add different types of data and augment, you know, the overall data system, or the, like in the case of the scrapbook example, overall, or building the scrapbook. Then there's the Dig Reddit news system. And, you know, this is an interesting fun generator that we've already seen play out. And what it is that the news data is added to the system, and then people could vote on it or add comments and stuff like that. And so it's a way more fun or interactive way to interact with the news. That news is not necessarily just outside events. And as we've seen in the Reddit system, it's, you know, even other participants or other browsers just add their own commentary or questions, and then other people could interact and give feedback on it. There's the photo enhancer system, and this is a fun generator where people add data into in addition to a photo so that there's new content or data for others to enjoy. So for example, someone is doing a photo quest where they have to take a bodybuilding shot each day to compare progress. In addition to the photo, they also have to fill in maybe the number of calories they ate for the day or even their weight. And then the fun generator would piece together the photo and the weight number or the calories they ate for the day into like another finally photo enhanced, you know, a photo enhanced thing that the player could then share with their friends or keep as a memento. It's a simple fun generator. Of course it could be built on. And I guess the general idea is to be able to take different pieces of data and augment them in ways that are interesting or unique or personalized or customized to the game utility. There are the relational playing game system fun generators. And these are, you know, game utilities that revolve around building relationship dynamics, such as the symmetric friend model, the asymmetric follow model, or even fantasy models, such as the pet owner model. This fun generator system can be overlaid on top of any real life relationships, or even facilitate kind of silly, playful relationships, like I mentioned before with the pet owner model. But we see these silly relationships play out in these multiplayer systems like, you know, Battle Royale or something else like that. And so whereas traditional role-playing games focus on single-player role-playing, and these RPGs or these like relational playing game systems really focus on relationships and the interactions between those relationships. The interesting thing about game utilities or, you know, data generated games versus user generated apps is that the relationships in the games can be dynamic and constantly change. And this is part of the play systems or fun generator to make this dynamic work. With Fun Friends, which was kind of a dating game utility to an extent, there was a relationship. And in the game, by the way, basically players would buy and sell each other. There was the kind of pet owner model where basically you'd have an owner that could buy players in the game and treat them as pets. And once they were pets, the owners could spank them, play with them, you know, et cetera, do a bunch of different interactions with them. And so the relationship dynamic was tied to an economy, like an in-game economy, so that there was a tycoon element to the game. And so basically players would have to buy and sell other players in the game. You know, people could buy pets from you, and when they did, you would make a little profit. So there was a motivation to buy pets that would be the most, you know, that would yield you the most profit. You know, that's a very simple form of this kind of relational playing game system dynamic. It's just something to consider. There are a whole bunch of other types of interactions that you could use to facilitate these relationships. There's the locked user-generated data system. And this involves taking the data inputted by players and creating locks within the game for others to view and enjoy it. So for example, with Fun Friends, players could, you know, going back to that dating game utility, players could upload a set of, quote, fun pics that were personal photos that were locked for other players until they actually purchased the person. So having locked photos added a sense of curiosity amongst the players. And so the more, you know, fun photos that you added that other people could view if they bought you inspired other people to want to buy you. And so that would add to the fun. And I think that's kind of interesting, is that, you know, using the traditional kind of in-game locking, but applying it to data as a way to drive and facilitate gameplay in the game utility. A game designer should find ways to repurpose or create categories of, you know, user-generated content or data-generated content in the game, and then be able to lock or unlock them based on a player's level or interaction or something else like that. And this locked data, provided it could be fun or valuable to other players and guilds or experiences in the game, could be a great motivator for other players to keep playing, because then they get to unlock the data. And in fact, you know, this is just a primitive example of where this could go, but I'm sure someone... an advanced game utility designer would be able to literally use this locked data in unique ways to facilitate, you know, unique venues of gameplay sequences. but yeah, so I guess a simple example going back, you know, referring back to that Fun Friends game would be to overlay a permission system on top of the user-generated data or the, you know, yeah, the data-generated content. The data could be marked as either public for all players to see, semi-private for an exclusive class of players or player relationships. Like, for example, with that Fun Friends game utility, it could be the pet owner thing. And then totally private, which is just private for the person that added the data. And the point of still adding that data is because that private data could be used to facilitate certain types of game sequences or game utility or gameplay. And so that would be the motive. But anyways, this is kind of something to consider. But anyway, so the locked user-generated data system is definitely another potential fun generator and a unique way or a really quick way to actually turn data into something that's interesting and compelling for gameplay. And I saw that with the Fun Friends game where literally people being able to add fun pictures, private photo stash, only that owners of the people that bought you could actually check out, inspired more people to participate, and then it drove the in-game economy. And I'm not going to really discuss business models in this book, but if you have an in-game economy that's kind of a shared virtual economy, and then it's like, hey, if I make more money because I have this unique data or I provide this locked data, it just drives more people to add that locked data or unique photos or stuff like that. The next fun generator would be like asymmetric multiplayer interactions. And the goal of these multiplayer interaction mechanics is to design fun around, you know, types of roles and relationships as it relates to just multiplayer roles and sequences. You could design games or game utilities that allow people to roleplay certain types of asymmetric relationships. And I'm going to go back to that Fun Friends thing. And I'm going to mention just some of these other games that maybe necessarily weren't even as big, but it was just things that I got to work on. And so I just wanted to share my experience and how that experience shaped this concept of game utilities. But basically, with the Fun Friends dating game, there was the pet owner relationship. The owner would, you know, buy pets and then offer. So they would buy pets and so that's the point, is that you can design these game utilities so that these asymmetric, which means that it's not a friend-friend model or whatever, but these asymmetric multiplayer kind of role-based interactions are unique, and they can only be found within the game utility itself, because the game utility offers that unique area or space where these different or unique roles can play out. Another example would be the Battle Royale games with roles within each team, you know, that help each other. Of course, the teams that battle each other, they, you know, the team versus team is symmetric, but within the team itself, it could be asymmetric relationships. In such games, the fun comes in the interactions around these types of asymmetric relationships. And often each role in such a relationship will have different interaction and communication permissions. And that's really where the game utility designer needs to determine the right interaction permissions between these roles to facilitate the gameplay. So, for example, in the Fun Friends dating game, only the owner, you know, which we would call the master or mistress, could send the pet a message to their inbox. And so you would have to buy someone first, make them your pet before you could communicate with them. Traditionally, communication and, you know, social software. Well, not really traditionally, but communication on the phone anyways is usually a one-to-one system. But however, these games can help coordinate and facilitate multiplayer interactions that are unique and something that players could not find in other venues or things that they use in their day-to-day lives. So these new types of communications and interaction styles allow for a lot of new and unique game opportunities and fun. And that gameplay can be fun, but also useful. So it's important to note that this is even different from a multiplayer MMO, because in a multiplayer MMO, which is massively multiplayer online game, MMO, people are interacting with more than one person at a time, but the communication exchanges are usually one-to-one. There are guilds, and I understand that, but I mean, with these, I think what we have to say is that I think with these multiplayer interactions, you can have situations and messages where different people in the game help to build them kind of the data sequence or the data. And the final data gets sent to another person or group of people in the game. And so I suppose what's different between this and MMOs and even the more advanced MMOs, where they do definitely have asymmetric relationships and interactions, is that we're talking about situations where multiple people are working on the data or some kind of data together. I'm going to use the simple example of scrapbooks, where people may be placing photos together, to build a scrapbook to send to another person. But it's more of a collaborative effort. It isn't just cooperation, but it's collaborative because they're able to interact with the data. And another simple example besides the scrapbook would be even a greeting card. And this could be an interaction sequence or event in a game utility where the game utility orchestrates how the multiple people in a team or a guild or whatever get to add their own messages to a card, and that card gets sent to someone else in the game or even outside the game. And this requires the coordination of communication and asymmetric design in order to create interesting messages and content for that greeting card. And I guess the way I see it is that humans are, social creatures, and many emotions that humans feel are only accessible and attainable by interacting or thinking about or thinking with other people and even about other people. So the great thing about these multiplayer games and interaction sequences is that they can direct and coordinate multiple people to interact with each other in a way that creates compelling emotions. Then your game utility is really then an emotion generator with players as part of the structure for the emotion creation. And multiplayer interactions can help facilitate this emotion creation. And I mentioned the Fun Friends game and how it did that. And I think it's also important to note that multiplayer interactions can be a way to help get a majority of the players in the game to generate content, as I mentioned with the scrapbook and the greeting cards. And I'm sure there's other types of content, interactive content that I haven't even really mentioned or even thought of, but unique interactive content that are unique to games that multiplayer interactions can help create. And So let's also discuss some of the, because I feel like multiplayer interactions are an important part of these fun generators and something that's really unique potentially to games are these kind of asymmetric multiplayer interactions. And then obviously with the game utility aspect where you can use that to generate data, and then that data or that content doesn't necessarily have to be what we're traditionally used to, which is photos or scrapbooks or greeting cards, but even unique interactive content. And so we're going to discuss some of the nuances of these multiplayer interactions to consider as a game utility designer. And the second part, in the second part of this this chapter, this part has gone on longer than most chapters, so we'll break it up. And yeah, so that's it for now. Thank you.